From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, here we are, another Locked On Podcast Network Wednesday crossover. Brian Peacock here from Locked On 49ers. I'm with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs. We are sans Ryan Tracy today. I'm looking forward to this conversation with Chris and getting a little bit into the Chiefs here, who have been on ridiculous fire, especially their quarterback, Pat Mahomes, and talking a little bit of 49ers-Chiefs Week 3 matchup. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And pleasure to talk to you. And I know the Locked On Chiefs podcast, just as far as the Locked On Podcast Network has been going, you guys with the Chiefs and LockedOnChiefs.com have been doing big things. So congrats there with all the growth.
Hey, thank you very much. And congrats to yourself. You're doing big things as well.
Yeah, it's been fun to be part of this network and see all the growth network wide in the different shows, and particularly on my show. It's been a lot of fun. So pumped to be here daily. We got this Wednesday crossover. I guess I got to start with Pat Mahomes, because my God, I knew about the arm talent and that has absolutely been on display for the Chiefs. But can you tell me a little bit more about his development from the neck up as an NFL quarterback?
You know, I don't think there can be enough overstated about how much Alex Smith helped him last year. Just learning how to prepare, learning how to be an NFL QB. I think Alex Smith had a tremendous impact on Patrick Mahomes last year. And to be fair about it, though, Patrick Mahomes was also a product of his dad being a pro baseball player growing up. He's been around A-Rod. He's been around a whole bunch of different baseball players, major league baseball players. He's watched how they've prepared, and he's watched how they are, you know, getting ready for games whenever they're getting ready. So I think that's a big part of it. I think there's a lot going on in his brain. And the one thing that just amazed me, and I've said this a couple times already this week, but I'll say it again. Thing that amazes me about him the most is he just never seems phased. He hasn't taken any really huge hits, and I'm sure one's coming at some point, but he just doesn't look phased. He doesn't look like the game is too big for him, and he figures out things very quickly. So it's an exciting time to be a Chiefs fan.
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned Pat Mahomes Sr., because I actually remember watching Pat Mahomes as a kid when he came up through the minor leagues and played for my hometown Visalia Oaks. They were the Twins single A affiliate at the time. And I always remember the guys who came up and became big leaguers, because usually there was a lot of, you know, fanfare around high draft picks or big name guys. And actually Ken Griffey Jr. came through and played against the Oaks one time. I remember he snubbed me for an autograph, and I always hated Ken Griffey Jr. for that. But the rest of his career. But yeah, I remember him coming up, and he was one of those guys who was on the fast track to the big leagues. But yeah, Pat Mahomes coming full circle. I remember watching his dad as a kid play baseball.
Yeah, and I think that really helped him in his development growing up and his development in the NFL so far this season. But what can you say? I mean, the kid turned 23 years old on Monday. After playing two games this season, he has 10 touchdowns already and is on pace for 80. Now, obviously, that's not going to hold up, but still, what he has done so far this season has been incredible.
Absolutely. And is the development of Mahomes sort of the final feather in Andy Reid's cap as well, as an NFL head coach and a quarterback guru?
I don't know that I'll call it final, because I think final is going to be if he gets to the Super Bowl and wins one or two or three. I think, you know, you look at what Reid's career has missed, and even more importantly than what his career's missed in general, you look at what kind of impact he's had on this game. Look at his coaching tree. His coaching tree includes, I think, 8 other NFL head coaches right now, and most of them are pretty successful. And you compare that to a guy like Bill Belichick, who's had the ultimate success in New England, who none of his guys are even over 500.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
Patricia's career as a head coach.
Yeah. No, and it does not look good in that situation either. Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, Josh McDaniels obviously is a big offensive coordinator name that gets thrown out year after year, and whether or not he'll ever become a head coach again, we'll see. But you know, you have to look at it and you say Andy Reid is really a genius when it comes to calling offensive plays. But, you know, the way he's brought coaches along as well, I think has been a huge thing for the NFL.
Yeah, and it's not just passing game and quarterbacks. It's the running game as well under Andy Reid. I want to get to Kareem Hunt in a minute, but is one more question on Pat Mahomes. Is there a regression you expect to hit Pat Mahomes at some point, possibly week three? Because, I mean, he can't keep up this ridiculous pace, right?
I thought he played a fantastic game week one, and then he came out and he did better week two against a team that Kansas City has not played well against in the past. I'm not going to expect a regression, especially at home.
Right.
I'm not going to say that he won't regress eventually, because you would think that at some point, you know, if you look at, I'm not looking past week three, so don't take it that way. But what I will say is that I'm looking past week three and the fact that if he's going to regress, he's probably going to have a better chance to regress against a team like the Broncos that he's already played once.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Not trying to say anything
on him a little bit.
Right. Not trying to say anything against the 49ers, but if he's going to regress, the Broncos have already seen him play once. So it would make more sense to me to have him regress in that game. At that point, you've got four starts under his belt. Defensive coordinators can start seeing that. But really, I don't know what they're going to be able to do to stop it. He's making plays where if he makes a good throw, the defense can be great, but it doesn't matter because this throw is so good. There's a fantastic example of that. I think it was like a third and three, or maybe it was even third and seven in the third quarter, and he hit Kelce on a seam pass that was, I think, a 31-yard gain, and he dropped it just over the linebacker's hands and right in front of two safeties. And Kelce was able to grab it, and the ball wasn't in there for more than 2 or 3 seconds. I mean, the arm he's got is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy. The lasers I've already seen him throw, and I saw that in college, and I just saw it, and it's crazy because he can make up for even bad mechanics, or not even bad mechanics, but just sort of odd mechanics. You know, he's not a textbook thrower with his feet and everything being all in line, which means maybe he could even get better as an NFL quarterback. And I'm sure he will because he's such a young player, but he can be sort of off schedule and still sling it off his back foot and throw these laser passes that are ridiculous. And so I think that's got to be frustrating for defenses that think they have him bottled up, or they think they have a play bottled up, and he can just really almost throw his way out of a paper bag.
Well, yeah, you look at, there's not a better example of that than his week for one touchdown, his first touchdown of his NFL career, Tyreek Hill. He sidearmed the ball. He was getting hit by a defender and sidearmed the ball 15, 20 yards down the field and hit Hill in stride, and Hill was off to the races. And he was getting hit when he threw that ball, and you know the defender had to be going, I had him down. I don't understand. How did he get that ball away? But he didn't need to step into it. He just fired it, and it was there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm looking forward to see what the 49ers does against Pat Mahomes and see if they can show him maybe some looks that give him a little bit of trouble in week three. And I think Chris might have sort of tipped his hand on what his prediction will be for this game. But the truth is, I don't know who's going to win, and Chris doesn't know who's going to win. But if you think you do, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. They are the best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is super easy to use. They have in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And now MyBookie is slammed with new bettors this season and wants to give everyone the best opportunity and the best service possible. So if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. It's up to you guys now, but if you wait until after dinner and take that extra money, LOCKEDON25 is the promo code at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, so there's some key matchups here, Chris, I got to ask you about with the Chiefs and the 49ers. And I think we teased a little bit about Kareem Hunt there, and he's a player I really loved coming out of college, and I think he's such a perfect fit for Andy Reid in that offense, and he can do a little bit of everything, even though he might not wow you as a physical specimen. But a guy that the 49ers are getting back in week three is Reuben Foster, who's been suspended for the first two games. I'm really excited for that matchup, Kareem Hunt versus Reuben Foster.
Well, I think it could be a good matchup. The question I have is Kansas City going to make it much of a matchup that's going to determine how the game goes? And I mainly mean that because if you look at what the Chiefs offense did against the Steelers and what they've done against Los Angeles, they kind of went away from the run a lot. I mean, Kareem Hunt did have 75 yards against the Steelers, and he got 20 of it when they knew he had to run the ball. So the question I have is how much is it going to be a factor? I don't know. I understand Reuben Foster's a great player, and I think that it's really going to help the 49ers defense. I just wonder how the Chiefs offense is going to play and how that goes when we're looking at this game plan.
Yeah, and it would be wise probably for the Chiefs maybe not to try to go there as much as we've seen the 49ers opponents do in the first 2 weeks, especially last week. And Matthew Stafford is a gunslinger, and he chucked the ball 53 times against the Niners. And the 49ers were able to slimly get out of there with a W. But it was pretty obvious what their game plan was, and it was to attack into the flats and you know, throw a lot of passes short to the area where that Will linebacker was, where Reuben Foster was not, and instead it was second-year guy Elijah Lee, and Brock Coyle was really toasted in that same position in week one without Reuben Foster. And then the other thing they did is they really went after the cornerback on the right side who's opposite Richard Sherman. And that's been one of the things with the 49ers I've been blown away by, is how good Richard Sherman has played in the first 2 weeks and how much respect or offensive coordinators around the league still have for Sherman. They didn't even test him out of the gate. They are just not throwing his way already. He's still getting that all-pro treatment on the left side. And so Akella Witherspoon, who just started to get a little bit beat in that week two matchup against the Detroit Lions, they ended up replacing Witherspoon late in that game with Jimmy Ward, and he didn't fare a ton better. So I gotta guess whoever's going up against the right cornerback of the 49ers is going to see a lot of targets on Sunday.
Well, and the problem with that for a defense is when you have one player that plays very well and you take away that side of the ball, you don't have the ability to necessarily dictate who covers what player. And maybe the 49ers will start moving Sherman around to where he's not just stuck on that one side of the field. But that's one thing about Marcus Peters is, you know, when he was in Kansas City, what would frustrate a lot of people is that they wouldn't move him. They would keep him on that one side, and then the offense got to dictate who he covered. So I wonder how that's going to play out. Now you've brought up Reuben Foster. I'm curious, what are you thinking about? Let's change gears here a little bit. I want to hear a little bit about Jimmy Garoppolo, because I thought he played a pretty good game against the Minnesota Vikings week one. Obviously you guys weren't able to get the victory in that game, but I thought it was a pretty good game regardless. And then you have a young wide receiver in Dante Pettis that I think is going to be a good player as well.
Yeah, with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's really not firing on all cylinders. Just the whole offense and the passing game is not clicking right now. So I think timing-wise, there's just some things they need to work out. And so I think that's definitely in Kansas City's favor in week three, unless the 49ers really do figure that out. And so it's hard to know where the 49ers are going to be offensively, because they haven't quite shown the full capacity yet in the first 2 weeks. But I think, you know, it's a tough go in week one to play on the road in Minnesota and against that defense. But I
got to say one thing real quick. Sure. I just have to say that, you know, they're playing against the Chiefs defense, who's given up a ton of points and a ton of yardage. So this might be their week to get right.
Okay, so I should up my predictions. I should take the over in this one, you think?
Yeah, well, considering the Chiefs gave up 37 points this week and 28 the first week or something like that. Over 30 points a game. Good luck on. I think your offense is going to produce a little bit more, although I'm hoping the Chiefs defense can figure it out.
Right. So, okay, that's good then. This is the 49ers passing game especially needs that. I think they figured a little bit out in the running game with Matt Breida going for 138 yards last week. And Matt Breida actually leads the NFL in rushing before this Monday night, or led the NFL in rushing before the Monday night football game this week. And so, yeah, I think on offense with a running game, they kind of know what they're doing on with the passing game. They need to get some timing down. Dante Pettis and George Kittle both were the ones that I thought are breakout guys. And in week two, they were going to really go big, and both guys really had rough games. And so, you know, with a young player like Dante Pettis, who's a promising young rookie, it's just, you know, there's some growing pains at that position in the NFL. So week three, that would be really nice for the 49ers on offense if they had a really get well game, even if they're not able to get out of Kansas City with a W, to get better on offense and maybe light up the scoreboard a little bit and get some confidence going in this season on the offensive side of the ball, especially the passing game.
makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you have a guy in Pierre Garçon who's a great wide receiver, I think. And Dante Pettis, as you said, is another up-and-coming wide receiver. And I do like what I saw from Kittle. So I think they've got a good young nucleus to go around their young quarterback. So the question is, you know, it's not a matter of when the offense – it's not a matter – sorry, it's not a matter of if the offense is going to figure it out. It's a matter of when. Right. And, you know,
yeah, I think Marquise Goodwin, they're missing that element of the deep speed and the down the field element that Marquise Goodwin brings to an offense and threatens the defense with. So if healthy and back, I think that'll help out quite a bit too.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up one question I have to ask you. When looking at the Chiefs offense, how do you think the San Francisco 49ers are going to match up and try to stop that?
It's tough because 49ers defense doesn't really, they don't bring a ton of multiple looks. They don't try to out scheme you. They want to be really good in the scheme they run. And there's just going to be a lot of cover three. And, you know, they're going to bring some wrinkles out there. The one thing that's been tough for the 49ers, and it was really a problem in the offseason, which I'm surprised the 49ers didn't really attack more in the offseason to try to bring in some draft picks or some free agents as outside pass rushers. So they've got some really good interior guys and some big ends that are good against the run. It can rush interior like Eric Armstead and Solomon Thomas. And those guys have kind of been splitting time as it, well, actually Eric Armstead has actually been on the field more than Solomon Thomas, which is surprising for a second year guy who was the number three overall pick last year. But the guy that really makes it run on defense right now, aside from Richard Sherman, is DeForest Buckner. So I think that's another matchup that the 49ers have to win, is DeForest Buckner against that interior Chiefs defensive line. And if they can get some things going against the pass there and pressure Pat Mahomes, that'll help the second level. And then with more range in Reuben Foster jumping in there at linebacker, because Fred Warner's been really a godsend for the 49ers at middle linebacker. The rookie has 20 plus tackles in two games. He's already got the green dot on his helmet. He's been calling the plays since week one as a rookie, which is really impressive. And the 49ers really wanted to have Reuben Foster play that will, that weak side linebacker spot. He doesn't have the headset on, so he can just use his instincts and go play football. And Fred Warner has really taken over that middle linebacker spot. And both those guys are really athletic. So they've got some athleticism on the second level. Jaquaski Tartt's a little bit banged up, but he's an athletic as well as big, strong safety. So I think that level is going to be good for the 49ers. The question is, can they get pressure on the quarterback? And it's got to start with DeForest Buckner inside and whoever's playing right corner across from Richard Sherman. Can they stand up to getting potentially just pounded with targets all game?
Well, and depending on who the Chiefs throw at him, it could be a long day. Or, I mean, that's the thing that I don't understand about how you're going to defend this offense is, you know, you have Sammy Watkins, you have Tyreek Hill, and you have Travis Kelce, and then you have Kareem Hunt as a running back. So it's a pick your poison type of offense. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun game with the 49ers because I do think their defense is better than what the Chiefs have seen so far. It's always fun to see young QBs go at it when they're playing against each other.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that Kansas City is a tough place to play. So that's the other thing is I want to see the 49ers, who are a young team. I want to see how they react to playing in that environment because, you know, one time a year they play in Seattle, which is a tough one. And I think after Seattle, maybe for the 49ers, Kansas City is probably going to be the toughest place they play all year.
Well, if you're wanting to go check out the Chiefs and the 49ers game live at Arrowhead on Sunday, you need to go check out Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is an online event and ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person. Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theaters, and more. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience. With the podcast code Locked On, listeners can receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app and enter promo code Locked On to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% money back guarantee. All right. So we've talked offense and defense a little bit. Anything else you want to talk about before we get into predictions for this game?
No, not really. You know, I think one question I do like to ask the opposing hosts on these Locked On crossovers. Is there any sort of secret superstar player for the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe a special teams guy or maybe an unknown player that 49ers fans may not know a lot about, but that could have an impact on this game?
Well, I'll give you a couple. I think that Anthony Hitchens is going to have an impact on this game. I don't know that I would call him a superstar, but I do think that his name is probably not very well known in the NFL right now. But he's basically taken over for Derek Johnson, and I think that that's going to be a very big, important position for Kansas City with inside linebacker. And then offensively, you know, they've got Travis Kelce, they've got Tyreek Hill, they've got Sammy Watkins. People know those names. But a guy that I think you really need to watch out for as well is Chris Conley. I think Chris Conley is a fantastic wide receiver, and I think he's been misused over the past couple of years with Alex Smith in Kansas City. And, you know, he's got only 2 catches this year, but with the way teams are going to have to defend the Chiefs, I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities to show what he really does and does well. Who are a couple of players on the 49ers that I should know about and that Chiefs fans should know about?
Well, I think one of them I mentioned earlier was that middle linebacker who's not really a secret anymore, the rookie Fred Warner, who's just been all over the place making plays at the line of scrimmage, in the backfield, sideline to sideline. He's been awesome for the 49ers, and I think for a lot of 49ers fans, and me included, I can't wait to see finally Reuben Foster on the field next to Fred Warner, because I think that's potentially going to be a dynamic tandem that a lot of people are hoping reminds them of the old Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman tandem for the 49ers. That's how much hopes that 49ers fans have on those two guys. And I have no doubt that if Reuben Foster is able to keep his nose clean and stay healthy, that he's going to be an absolute superstar in the NFL. On the offensive side of the ball, there's a guy that I don't know if he's going to get a chance to play enough to really make a huge impact, but Richie James, the 7th round wide receiver for the 49ers. I really like Dante Pettis, but Richie James is I think a player that eventually is going to work into the lineup and start making plays, because he's a dynamic, undersized sort of wide receiver. He's a good return guy, and I think at some point the 49ers are going to have to put him on offense and get him worked into the lineup a little bit, and because he's a playmaker, and the 49ers need playmakers right now on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, so you guys are coming to Kansas City on Sunday, noon kickoff. It is going to be a little early for you, though, because it's, what, 2 hours earlier in Kansas City, so it'll be like you're playing at 10 o'clock. What do you see happening?
Yeah, the 10 a.m. is always tough. Kansas City's a tough place to play. Right now, the MyBookie line has the Chiefs favored by 7, and I saw that after I'd already predicted what I thought was going to be 34-27 Kansas City. So I've got a push there with the MyBookie line as far as that 7 points. And I just, it's a tough place to play. And with the 49ers not clicking yet on offense, and hopefully this is the week that they do in week 3 and really get things going, and the defense is able to show up and make things difficult on Pat Mahomes. But at this point, I can't predict a win for the 49ers. I've got 34-27 Chiefs. What do you got?
Well, I think Kansas City is going to stumble at some point, and because I don't think the offense is going to be able to keep up the pace that they've had. I've had a lot of people ask me if I'm going to ever, you know, move off that statement. And, you know, let's get 6-8 games into the season before we think that it's going to continue the entire year. I do think that they play well this week because it is, you know, their first home game, and I cannot imagine what that place is going to be like for Patrick Mahomes' first start at Arrowhead as a starter. So, you know, I think Kansas City is going to win, and I'm not so sure it's going to be as low scoring as you said. And the only reason I say that is because of what the Chiefs defenses look like. And I think that's part of the reason that Kansas City put up 42 against the Steelers. So I'm not going to argue too much, although I'll say probably maybe 38-31, somewhere around there, 38-33, somewhere in that area.
So you're thinking more of a shootout is the script that's going to play out on Sunday?
If the Chiefs can't figure out how to get their defense to stop opposing offenses at all, yeah, I think it's completely possibility that it's a shootout. And I think most of their games are going to be shootouts this season.
Well, I think 49ers fans, just with how the season has gone so far in the first 2 weeks, even if the 49ers lose, I think they would rather lose in a shootout and see the offense put up some fireworks rather than sort of, well, week 1 almost on offense looked a little bit like a preseason game number 5. So the 49ers really need to click. And if they start doing that, I think they're going to be all right, even if they pick up an L in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's always hard to watch a offensive team only put up 10 or 11 points. So I completely understand. I'm not saying the 49ers have done that. I'm just saying it's never fun to watch that kind of game. So shootouts are always a lot more fun, even if they are a little bit more hard on the heart.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And for those 49ers fans, you can go to LockedOnChiefs.com, check out their film breakdown of Pat Mahomes and Tyreek Hill if you want to learn a little bit more of what the 49ers defense will be up against on Sunday in Kansas City. Or if you want to sleep better, maybe just don't go watch that.
Well, Brian, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will talk to you all tomorrow.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. It's been fun.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.